If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens.
He's a fella.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, indeed. Hey guys, how you living? You doing well? Good, glad to hear that. Screwball Whiskey, S-K-R-E-W, ballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here, Screwball Whiskey. Please... Oh, before we go any further than that, I'm getting ahead of myself. In this episode, my good friend Will Ness stopped by to talk about all sorts of things. We talked about music, talked about some new things he's got going on in the music world, and if you guys are interested in that, then you can check it out on Spotify, Will Ness Music. I'm pretty sure it's available on iTunes and everywhere else music is available, pretty much. Will Ness Songs by Hand is the name of the album. I invite you to check it out, and there will be description or links in the description of the YouTube video and in this episode description. Did I say all that right? There will be links in the YouTube video and in the description of this podcast. That's the right way to say it. So, we talked about all sorts of things. Talked about the band tribute a little bit. We talked about music mostly and performing, and then depression and anxiety and all kinds of other crazy shit. But anyway, I don't want to give you any spoilers on the content. I just don't want you guys to check it out, and it's coming right up right after these messages. Please go to mistuffpodcast.com. Please go to YouTube and subscribe to Kelsey Hudgens, and we're trying to get those numbers up. We're about at 350 right now. We're trying to reach 420. That is our next threshold that we want to reach. Please help us get there. Share the pages with your friends. Do whatever you have to do. Go subscribe to MI Stuff Podcast on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Podomatic, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are available, Google Play, all over the board. At Will Ness Music on Instagram and on Facebook. Follow Will and keep up with where he's going to be musically in the future. And at Yonder Wizard on Instagram for me, W-I-Z-Z-E-R-D. Yonder spelled like it sounds. And at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter and Facebook. And at MI Stuff Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook if you guys want to follow the podcast. So there's that. And let's see. A lot of cool stuff coming up going forward tomorrow night. Cameron Nesbitt is going to be in the house tomorrow night after his show at Franco's here in Merle's Island. So if you guys want to go check out Cam Nesbitt, he's going to be at Franco's from 5 to 8 tomorrow night. And then we're going to be doing an episode right after. So there will be an overload of band artists this week. And also, for any of the mommies who listen to this podcast, the Your Mom's House fans, any of you cool guys out there are going to know the name Chase Lepard, because Chase makes the memes and a lot of the content for Your Mom's House and Tom Segura and Christina Pazinski and Bert Kreischer. He's going to be coming on the podcast over the next couple of weeks, and that's going to be a really good episode. I'm excited about. Coco's going to be coming on. Ronnie Coco's going to be doing an episode soon. Trying to get Connor in here to be a part of that as well. So a lot of really cool stuff's coming in the future. So please stay tuned for all that goodness. So I think that's all I got for you. So without further ado, episode number 182 of the MI Stuff Podcast featuring Will Ness. Enjoy, motherfuckers. Ladies and gentlemen, in the house. Are we actually rolling yet? Okay. Well, now it's stopping. Okay, so yeah.
Sweet.
Will Ness in the house. It looks like we're struggling here. I'm glad I got like Facebook proof of what's
It's all good, man. We're gonna get this done tonight.
Absolutely we are. But you were excited about having this conversation. Absolutely. As am I. And you asked me earlier, and for those of you who are watching live now, you can go back and watch the beginning of the video. The beginning bit of the YouTube video will be cut out. It will be cut out pretty soon. So definitely go check that out if you want to see the extra little bit of content there. And as for audio folks who are just listening on audio, you'll have to go to the YouTube, Kelsey Hudgens, and watch the video so that you can see the extra content that you might have missed. So, yeah, Will Ness, how the hell are you, friend? Look at the back of my head.
I'm doing great. That I'm doing is wonderful. Great. Life is very good right now. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah. I'm very okay. There we go. I'm very content with my situation.
Mm-hmm.
But not saying that the situation is good,
right,
or bad or anything. But I'm very content with
where it
is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know, like I was just saying, it's like 90% of 10% of being a musician is talent.
Yeah,
the other 90% is just being content with being broke.
Right,
and it's not like that. But like it's just I knew what I was signing up for. It's not like I'm the soldier who signs up and gets pissed off that I get sent to war. You know, I knew what the game was.
So the other night when I saw you and I asked you how you were doing, you said that you had been a little ugh, and like you had kind of been going through a like little kind of depressed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Phase.
Well, I'm
kind of go through that annually.
Yeah.
At that point in time,
I'm always depressed. 24 hours a day. I am. I'm just that's me. That's just how I've always been. And it took me a long time to like realize that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an ongoing thing for sure.
Damn, bro. That's crazy because, I mean, you just seem like such a, like happy dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess, like, all those things like about Robin Williams and stuff, like, that's for real, you know? Like,
that's 100% true. Like, like they say that the happiest people in the world are usually the saddest because they know what it is to be truly sad and they don't want anybody else to feel that. And I understand that sentiment very much.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's different when you know it. It's like I'm not one of those people who runs around like, oh yeah, everything's great, everything's fine. You know, like most people who, I'm honest about it. That's conquering it for me.
Yeah, I got you, bro.
I forgot to do stills. But no, man. So how are things with you, man? These people know the shit I complain about.
Man, honestly, things are great, dude. We just went to Key West, Florida.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that.
And that was amazing. It was quite the experience, and I'm super blessed and fortunate to have been able to do that. It was mainly for a vacation because my mom and dad, they haven't really had much of a break in a long time, and they wanted to go somewhere. So my mom found a really good deal in a house, and I threw some money at that, and we got to go down there for a couple weeks and just kind of live it up. It was really nice, and then I had a few gigs to kind of pay for it, you know what I'm saying? So it was...
That's the way to do it.
It was really nice, yeah. It was like the first time I'd ever done anything like that, really. Like go somewhere else and pay for the trip with the gigs, you know?
Okay, I see it. Is that better on the YouTube volume there? Yeah, how's that? Is that a little better? Okay, I see it now. I'm sorry, I had the volume setting from the band tribute where we did the thing, and I forgot to open up my YouTube chat, and I see it there.
I got you.
Gentry Rose in the house.
What's up, Gentry?
But yeah, so that's the way to do it, man. To get some gigs to pay for your sweet. That's good. That's to get some gigs to play Are we on the same page here? To get some gigs to pay for your trip. That's a really cool thing to do, man.
It was cool, man. It was just cool to like go down there and check out that scene and like what they're doing and meet different people in it and kind of introduce myself into a new market, you know? So if I do want to go on a little vacation, I can kind of do a work vacation and go out there and, you know, it's nice to have a change of scenery sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Especially after the grind of summer, you know?
Sure.
And it was really nice, man. A lot of iguanas everywhere.
Oh, dude, in Marathon? I spent some time in Marathon for a week a while back, dude, everywhere.
Yeah, dude. They're like how squirrels are. here.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Do like, people like go around and try to catch them and like sell them and shit? Because I saw this one kid trying to catch them.
I didn't see anything like that, but maybe. I guess. I don't know. We had like a patio in the back with a little small pool, and they would just like, there was a lot of vegetation around, so they would, you know, drop down and eat, you know, leaves and plants and stuff. And they're crazy looking, man. They're like little, like, dinosaurs. You know what I'm saying? They're like prehistoric creatures, man.
Dude, they really are, man. I've been watching a lot of Jurassic World lately.
Oh, yeah?
That's my fall asleep to movie now. Like, I will put this DVD in my DVD player and just put it on repeat.
Yeah.
And let it just loop all night. It's Jurassic World right now. But birds. They're just birds.
Oh, yeah.
Dinosaurs are birds. Like, birds are the dinosaurs that...
Yeah.
What up, Buzz? I see you out there.
I saw
what up, Tuesday?
I saw this bird in Florida that this guide, we went on this guide tour thing, like, of this, like, park.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of the ocean. It was, like, really cool. All these, like, little baby islands and stuff. We saw this bird that, like, literally looks just like a pterodactyl. It was crazy, man. And, like, even the guide was like, oh, look at that bird. Like, this is a whatever bird, and it looks just like a pterodactyl. That's what it's known for. It was insane looking, man. It was crazy, bro.
Dude, I've seen how that movie ends.
I'm telling you, bro.
Man, I don't like that. No. Dude, you think about that, though. Wonder if... Have you heard the whole feathered dinosaur theory?
No.
All right. So they say that the reason that these animals were so, like... They say that basically the T-Rex was covered in feathers.
Right.
It was just basically a giant turkey. Which, ironically enough, is the joke that they use in Jurassic Park, the original, which he says, kind of looks like a big turkey. Or whatever. So, like...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's just funny that you think about all these dinosaurs, you think about how creepy they are, but then you picture them covered in feathers, and it's like... You know, I'd kind of like to see that. Like, that'd be nice to look at. That'd be pretty interesting.
It would be interesting.
It's not as terrifying, and it looks more like it's going to be singing you some I Love You songs or whatever.
You know I like my chicken fried.
Yes, why not?
Please don't make me sing that song.
Yeah, Jesus. Bro, I think that might have been one of the first songs we retired.
Oh, God.
There's so many songs we've retired over the years.
I've definitely... I don't know. I can't say I retired it. I haven't played it in a while. I haven't played it in a couple months. But during the summer, I play that thing almost every day. The only place I don't really play it at is Habaneros and Paulie's because they have a little more taste than people, like tourists in Myrtle Beach at Broadway, where I play mostly, you know.
Well, you have Craig Kiefer to thank for that, for playing them all originals and stuff all the time. Sure. So
absolutely. Shout out to Craig.
Yeah. Craig's going to do an episode soon.
He needs to.
Yeah, I had a good conversation with him at the Hurricane Maggie's for Jen Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, how awesome was that?
Dude, great. It was so good. I was surprised. After I left, I was like, wow, I really, like, that was...
It really, like, filled you up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was the sort of thing where I would have left generally 2 hours before I did, you know?
Yeah.
That's, like, a huge deal for me.
Yeah. Man... It's just this whole, you know, Sunday and Monday night with the band.
Yeah.
Sunday night, the band tribute at the Pit, and Monday with Hurricane Maggie's for Jeff and Jen. That really just, like, got me out of a hole, man. Like, ever since I got out from Florida, like, my girlfriend and I were just talking about it. Like, we've been just, like, in a funk. Like, we've just been kind of, like, depressed, like... about being back. And for me, like, I think it's just because of, like, just the routine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just kind of being, like, bored with it a little bit.
Oh, I understand that. What's up, Ethan?
And this weekend, man, just seeing everybody, seeing how encouraging everybody is, and just getting to play music with one another and appreciate one another, like, you know, it really, like, filled me up. And it made me feel so much better about life, bro. Like... Honestly,
it was nice, man. It was like the family reunion after party in a way, you know, like where we got to see a lot of the same folks Sunday night.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we carried that over until Monday. So that was just like a couple of really good days of some wholesome
for sure.
people yeah. time. And I don't get a lot of wholesome people time, man.
I don't
man.
Either, man. I don't either. Like, we work so much, dog.
Yeah, man, and I feel bad. Honestly. Like I feel like that might like make some of my friendships or relationships suffer just because I am so weird about my me time, you right. know? Like I really and most people get like do that whole like, well, why doesn't he want to hang out with me sort of thing? And it's never that. It's just I just really, really dig being alone, man.
Right.
Like I really dig my alone time. And that's something that I've got. And if I don't get enough of that, I start to get like really, really agitated.
Yeah.
Really agitated. It happens. We were talking the other day about, and you mentioning going down to Key West and playing a few gigs and you know, making some dough, and that way, you know, your trip's somewhat paid for in a way.
Yeah.
And we have some gigs that we do out of town every year, and we were discussing whether or not we were going to do those anymore. And they're right. gigs that we sort of enjoy doing,
right?
But
they don't make sense financially,
right?
Yeah,
they just don't make sense financially. And it's fine. And I was talking to them about it, and they Adam for sure. I was like, you know, it's fine if we can count it as like a vacation or something like that. And I was like, man, even if we count this thing as like a vacation, like it's just, and I understand that I'm making this decision from a selfish place by saying that I would rather not, but like I am only one third of this, you know, conversation. So like I want to make sure that we're all cool,
right?
You know, before I say this, like I just, yeah, I wanted to make sure I take everybody into account
for sure.
instead of just saying, hey, man, I'm the weirdo that likes to stay home. I'd rather play a couple of gigs closer to the house and, you know, do a little bit better financially yeah. because it's, well, for one, I do this only this for a living. So it's a little bit more financially strenuous on me to go right. and do something like that
yeah.
than it would be for those guys. But that's a huge deal that not a lot of folks take into account. Like, why don't you get out? Why don't you go on the road?
It's hard.
You know, it's expensive.
Because then you don't make money.
Yeah, it's expensive.
A lot of times you lose money, yeah. I mean, it's...
Right.
I haven't, like, done a tour yet or anything like that. A buddy of mine and I were thinking about doing a tour, and we're still toying around with the idea. But in the back of my mind, I know it's going to, like, cost money, man. And I know it's going to put me a little behind the eight ball, and I'm just not sure
yeah.
I want to. I think I'd rather, you know, use money to make a record or buy, you know, equipment that I need, you know, and or save for repairs, you know,
right, dude, just
stuff like that, you know,
keep that in your pocket or whatever, you
sure.
know, just say, yeah, 100%, Ethan and Rick, sounds better, right? Yeah, well, I pumped the volume up a little bit, pump it up a little bit.
What's up, Ethan?
Yeah, you know what,
that
man?
Boy drove all the way down for the band tribute. That's love right there.
I'm going to go ahead and hit this right here, and then got you, dog. That's awesome, man. That dude, the band tribute is so much fun every year, and I like, I get so excited. By the way, my man thought he was booking a tee time. He signed up for the band tribute. They were like, Whispering Pines. He's like, what time? Nah, dude, let me tell you, dude, I listened to that shit again after I got it broken down,
yeah.
bro. That's some up there vocals, man.
Yeah,
like,
man,
that's some
brother.
Serious, like, that's, it's hard to have control at that, in a falsetto, for sure, man.
Right.
It's hard to have that control, man. That was an impressive song.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. But the backing band killed it. Doc killed it. Patterson killed it. I felt like those guys made it very easy for me to just kind of.
They're nice to lean on, man.
Right in, you know what I'm saying?
Those guys were great to lean on.
Yeah, they're great. So, and shout out to Doc for putting that thing on, and Dan Simons for playing in the house band, and Emerson and Patterson and all them boys. Y'all were incredible this year. I felt like this year was like the best year I've been a part of.
It was certainly,
since I started.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I had a lot of fun. It was the most fun I've ever had at one.
Yeah, like I said, it was so fun. It got me like out of that hole, man, and like, I don't know, man. Like I just felt so weird about coming back to Myrtle Beach because like so much of me like kind of wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And but I came when we came back. I mean, I don't know. It was just like a weird feeling. And once I went to the band tribute and saw everybody and you know did some music and just hung out. I mean, it was beautiful and it really just. It just filled my spirit in a way that, like, I feel like music hasn't in a minute.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying?
I heard that loud and clear, yeah, bro. Loud and clear.
Sorry, it took me a second to articulate that.
No, man. That's what these things are for.
Yeah.
I do. And by the way, I'm sorry that I'm very long-winded in everything that I say. Because I try to be that. I try to answer every question you might have in my answer.
Yeah,
you know, I try to cover as much ground as I can, or give as much information, I guess, as I can.
Right.
So yeah, sorry I do that.
Bro, don't apologize, man. My girlfriend told me today. She said you got to stop apologizing for so much stuff. She's like, you just gotta be you. You just gotta be proud of who you are and not apologize for it.
Somebody told me the same thing.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm always saying Maggie's. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just like, why do I keep saying I'm sorry to everybody?
Yeah,
mercy. But. But yeah, dude, I gotta tell you, I left for a minute to go get a jacket because I live right around the corner from the pit.
Yeah.
And when I rolled back up, you had just started Tennessee Jed, and I knew it was you, and I was parked way back. And dude, you killed that, man.
Thanks, man.
And I was like in awe of how well you did, and just how awesome the whole song sounded. And I went back, and dude, I have listened to that song so many times since. Sunday night. I love that song. I'm going to learn that song.
Dude, it's good.
I'm going to start playing it. It's so good, dude.
Yeah, well, you know it's a Dead song.
Yeah. Jerry Garcia wrote it, right?
Yeah, Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
That's how I... all right, so...
It was on that Levon Helms...
Yeah, Electric Solo Dirt.
Record. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Their recording of that is so good. Like that, that's that whole little build up and like resolve is so nice. But
for sure.
So my history with the tribute to the band, the first time I did it, I bombed.
Oh, really?
Bad.
Oh,
it was bad. I did Life is a Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't go to the rehearsal. I'm pretty sure I was still drinking at that time.
Oh, man.
I was stupid high. And
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was just, it was not a good situation. And
happens, bro.
I totally bombed the song and like left the band hanging and had to end it early, and I felt like an asshole, and I was like, shit, I'm so sorry. But after that, I was so upset that I learned the song and started playing it out, like right, and all the words and the changes and everything, and told Doc, I was like, hey, man, I got it. I fixed it. I made it. And you're right, Ethan. Paulie's does have that energy. It really does. I like that. But yeah, I had that in me, and I was like, dude, I got this now. And he was like, oh, I don't know, it was a little weird for the band too. So we started looking, and I was like, what about Tennessee Jed? Like, I know Levon does a version of Tennessee Jed. Yeah, I know it's a Dead song, but Levon covered it.
But that's cool that you kind of branch out a little bit from the rest of what everybody else is doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. Like, I like that you.
A few people know that that's a Levon song.
Yeah,
everybody knows that as a Dead song, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It kind of just like pays homage to, you know, Levon's solo career a little bit, you know.
And that's
cool that you
closer
do that,
to
man.
The end of his, you know, to the end of his like recording career, basically, and just his voice sounds so like worn.
Yeah,
and that's
I love
great.
It's beautiful.
Not a bad way. Like it just sounds so learned and so like. Cold iron. I love the way he says iron. Cold iron shackles.
Yeah.
Cold iron shackles.
Where's he from? Like Mississippi?
I think he's from Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken.
I love that.
But yeah, I don't know. I love that song. That's a good one. But you should listen to the dead version too if you haven't. Have you heard the dead version of it?
I've not. No.
Bro.
Yeah, it's fire, huh?
Yeah, listen to that Rockin' in the Rain version of it. Yeah, okay. They do good. But that's beside the point. Dude, this thing, this band tribute, and whether or not Doc knew what it would end up being when he first started it, and he said it in the thing. I actually got it on one of the YouTube videos where yeah, by the way, guys, if you guys want to watch any of this stuff, most of these videos, I uploaded them last night. They're on this channel, and you can go back and watch a lot of the videos from the stuff that we're talking about. I was watching him say that this was just a pipe dream 7 years ago. You know, yeah, this was just Turkey Scratch, Arkansas. Cameron Nesbitt knowing it. Turkey Scratch, Arkansas.
What's up, Cameron?
Arkansas, bro. You want me to tell you something? That dude right there, like, I swear to God, I can say with complete honesty that I watched Tears of Rage with tears in my motherfucking eyes, dog. That shit was great. Forgive my language. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that I'm on Facebook, and they're not used to hearing me talk like this, and my YouTubers they think it's normal. But man, that was so good, dude. There's just so many good memories and Doc was very excited that we got some good video of it because this was the first time that we've gotten actual board audio.
Yeah, yeah.
Next year, I'd like to get board audio and room audio. Right. But Turkey Scratch, Arkansas.
I just love that he created like a new tradition that brings all of us together, man. I mean, it's such good vibes.
Yeah.
It's just all love, man. It's a family reunion, yeah. It's beautiful. And to some of the best music there is.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Drew said it best. He was like, this is one of the family reunions every year I don't mind going to or something like that. Dude,
I loved how much fun that guy had.
Dude, just watching him
made me happy, bro.
Right, though. I said, this right here is the one that I'm the most excited about. Just because you get to see him move around like that while he's doing it.
Yeah, he starts dancing. And he can dance. I mean, he got some, I think he got some moves. And
nonsense, Cam. You killed that shit.
You killed it, bro.
It was delicious. dude. I can't move. I can't do that, man. I can't do those moves like that. But yeah. Drew is just—he
can move, man.
He can move, man.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. I've known his name, but I've never met him until this past weekend. Mm. And man, it was—I loved getting to know that guy. We're Facebook friends now and stuff.
He used to have a band called Drew Jacobs and the Sauce.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
bro, that was it. That was the heat, man. Dude, ain't nobody touched their set list. They were doing like old like Temptations, old funk, like just they didn't nobody touch that shit. Oh, so good.
Love that.
In a full suit, that's right, Ethan.
Yeah. Classy guy.
Dude, I was at the bar a while ago, like he pulled a napkin out and shake it up like that, like he was going out to Patterson shaking that dude. That was so good, man.
Hell yeah.
Oh man. Those things are some of the few things that I actually look forward to at leaving the house.
Yeah. What kind of gigs you got coming up? Like anything you're really looking forward to?
Not really. And I say looking forward to is an understatement. But there are gigs we have to do. There's like we got Cornbread's gonna be I'm thinking Bubba's this week.
Yeah, that's cool.
Bubba's on Friday maybe, and then Saturday at the Pier in Garden City, I think.
That's dope.
Yeah, I got more podcast stuff that's coming up soon than I do gig stuff. Yes. Nice. Vinny's actually got a couple of guys that he wants to bring down this Sunday. I think we're going to do. And then,
Vincent?
Yep.
Oh, Vincent Davis?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy. We got to hang out when Matt was down like a month ago before I left. It was dope. It was great.
Yeah, they were talking about that. I think they were going over there right before or right after they did the podcast.
Yeah, I think they were coming like right after or something.
Yeah. But yeah, Matt is like, he's like my baby. I got three baby sisters. He's the youngest one's age. And just seeing him out here living in Texas rapping and shit, and I'm like, dude, man, you used to be in kindergarten when I was about to graduate,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh? That's time, I guess, man.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah. But what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do?
But no, there was something else I was just gonna say a while ago, but I lost the thought. Oh well,
it's all good, bro.
Drew is it, Cam? Dude, he's something that can't. I was standing next to Seth while Chess Fever was going on.
Yeah.
And dude, he does this where he just dances off the stage after he's done singing. He just dances off and lets the band do their thing.
Yeah.
And I leaned over to Seth and I was like, "Man, nobody do it like that."
Yeah.
Don't nobody do it like that.
Yeah. For sure. He's got amazing stage presence.
Yeah.
For sure.
Drew, if you're listening, showman,
for sure.
You know, well, it ain't nothing I ain't already told him.
Yeah.
That's the best part. That's why I posted that video on Instagram, just because Drew was just getting down back there. And I was like, dude, I'm so lucky to be experiencing this right now moment.
Just seeing how happy that music was making him, it just made me happy, man.
Yes. And he was, I think, the physical embodiment of how happy everybody there was.
Absolutely.
You know, just that's why I literally felt that right in that moment. I kept my phone in my pocket the whole night, pretty much. And then that one time I was like, man, I have to document this.
Right.
Because just that moment of where I was at, I was like, I'm very lucky to be like amongst all these people having this much fun and just all the people that were there. And I had to do that.
I think next year the picture on the poster should just be a picture of Drew dancing. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just doing his thing. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all, please go watch Drew. I've got all three of Drew Jacobs' performances on the YouTube channel here. Go. There's a playlist dedicated to it. The 7th annual tribute to the band. Do that. Go watch any of those performances just to see him dance.
He's killing
it. Will Ness here doing Whispering Pines and also hitting some pretty damn impressive harmony lines.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
On a little bit of Shape I'm In, man.
Dude, that song is a jam.
What up, Jason?
Blair kills that too. I love Blair.
Yeah.
Do you know Blair?
I don't, man. I think I've known him through that, but that's it.
Yeah.
Blair. So I mean, we know of each other. Just
Blair is a cool guy, man. He owned the Barefoot Barista in Pauly's.
Okay.
So it was a coffee shop where like me and like Connor and Dan all started, and like Chris Keys.
Yeah.
We all kind of started out playing there. Coy Duke, Ephraim Brown, some of those guys. And like
Ephraim's got some pipes, man.
Dude, Ephraim can sing, bro. He's a good musician. But that was kind of where all the open jams were.
Oh, nice.
Open mic nights / open jams.
And
man, that was the spot. They closed like 4 or 5 years ago now. But
what up, Kevin?
Blair is like always gonna have a special place in our hearts because of that, man.
Go around yonder, peace in the valley.
Love that.
That's good, man.
Love that. It was just such a fun night, man. I'm like still on just a cloud from it. You know what I'm saying?
Now, before this, were you a band fan? Were you into the band before all of this stuff?
No, to be honest. I was just trying to get in the scene.
Yeah.
And I asked Doc if I could sing something. And he was like, yeah, sure. Just let me know what you want to sing. So then I dove into their catalog and... You know, of course, I started asking about, you know, all the hits, and they were already taken by the veterans. And so then I found, like, a B-side, Whispering Pines, and I really liked that song.
That's a Manuel song, isn't it? Richard Manuel?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. And
God, he was the only one that could hit that, man.
Yeah.
God, his voice was so damn good. You did a killer job of that,
man.
Go watch that, by the way.
Those chord changes in that song are crazy. I think the same type of stuff the Beatles did. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the same kind of tricks and stuff, you know.
Yeah, so good, man.
So good.
But, yeah, I remember...
Thanks, Ethan. He said my album, Songs of My Hands, Fire. Appreciate that, bro. Thank you so much.
Yeah, album songs by hand. What is this we hear?
So I dropped in like... All right, so in March, I went and opened for a guy named Nathan Weber in a theater in Chicago. And Nathan is from Chicago. He lives in L.A. now. So it's kind of like his homecoming show.
Yeah.
And I really wanted like some new music on CDs to take up there. So at that same time, I also needed to do a senior project for Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
So this would kind of kill... two birds and one stone if I just went ahead and recorded like a solo acoustic like mixtape is basically what it is.
Yeah.
And it's just 10 songs. I went to Jam City?
Daryl.
Yep. Daryl, yeah. And did it there. And Chris Canada mixed and mastered it.
And, Chris is good.
Yeah. Chris, and he's a super nice guy and did a really good job. And it was really cool. I mean, you know, it was a cool experience, and I got to take some merch up there and sold some merch. So it was great.
That's nice, man.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it's on Spotify and Apple Music and everything like that, you know.
Songs by Hand, Will Ness. Songs by Hand,
yeah.
We'll drop links to all of that in the description when we put all this stuff out.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Dude, that's great, man. I'm actually I was ready to drop an album. I actually recorded everything.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that last time I was here.
Yeah, I had recorded everything and had it done. And I had some better advice. I had some like better advice about mixing it, and I started thinking that a lot of those things were good, and I will always have the recordings of my own. But then my buddy Ed Dennis, who records, who plays electric guitar with Cornbread when Adam can't make gigs. He's actually playing with us Saturday night. I love playing with him. I get to play rhythm the whole night and learn.
Yeah.
I
feel you on that.
But yeah, he's helping me record. He's been trying to get me up in the studio. He just built a studio at his house as well.
Sweet.
And he had a studio. We actually recorded Cornbread's little 5-song EP with him. Now he's moved it to his house. So I've been going up there. I did a session with him not long ago and laid down the bones to a few.
Yeah.
But it's going to be nice to get something recorded elsewhere outside of here.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Somebody else's ears on it, you know.
Yeah, it's always nice to, like, just play artist.
Yeah.
You know, not engineer, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot less pressure.
You don't have to think about anything else other than playing the song. Like, you know what?
Yeah. I'm just getting that right, because that's the most important thing, you know.
Because here I'm like singing the song, and I've probably already got my vocals mixed the way that I want them to here. So I'm like thinking about the mix and the song, and I shouldn't, like, I'm taking, like, my biggest thing for recording everything on myself is I don't want anything to get in the way of the song. But now me recording it myself kind of is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't like that thought.
I feel you on that, bro. Well, then the other side of that is recording elsewhere can be very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's just... But I've actually, since we last spoke, I have set up the studio in my house for demos. And I haven't done a ton. I actually set it up for me and Matt to work on some stuff. But honestly, we didn't work on anything. We just... caught up, which was really nice, to be honest.
You know what that should have been is episode number one of the Will Ness podcast.
Yeah. That would have been nice. I gotta start one of those. That'd be fun.
Dude, I
don't
know
if anybody would listen to it. I don't feel like I'm a very interesting person, to be honest.
No, that bullshit. Who cares? No. I think that everybody should have one just for the reasons of being able to keep a document of who you are at a certain point in your life. You know, it's literally like a journal. Because, I mean, who really writes a journal these days? Do you keep a journal? I don't.
No,
you know,
I don't.
But doing these...
would be that.
Is that. You know, it's the modern journal. And I really think that out of everybody who should have started a podcast by now, Vincent...
yeah.
Is one of those people. I really, because he's already brought, he's got some guys that are coming in on Sunday. And Bio will always do that, by the way. But I think that he, just in his circle of the folks that he knows, he seems like he would be good with hosting a podcast and like getting with these people. And he seems like he's a hustler as far as
he works hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like very zen now.
Yeah.
He was not that way in high school, but now he is extremely zen.
That's good.
Super chill. And I really enjoyed the conversations we had and catching up, because we hadn't spoken a lot since high school.
Yeah.
And so it was really nice to just like catch up with somebody who knew me in that period of my life.
Yeah.
You know? And because honestly, like, I don't really see a lot of people from high school anymore. You know, I don't keep up with a lot of people. It's really only a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I guess it kind of goes that way for everybody, you know? So it was kind of like, it was just a different experience. It was really neat to just hang out with them.
Yeah.
And just talk and just be friends again.
That's good.
For real, yeah.
That's good, man.
For sure. Because, like, yeah, they're good guys.
Yeah, 100%. They are, and I love having them in here every time. Dude, but I just noticed that he had mentioned that that he had the other guys that wanted to come in on Sunday and do an episode, and then someone else messaged me shortly after saying, "Hey man, Vinny just told me about your podcast, Like, and I was thinking, I was like, well, if he's like people are actually getting in touch with me, then he could cut the middleman out and start his, like, I 100% believe that he would have a successful podcast if he started it.
For sure.
And if it was nothing more than, like, a couple episodes a month to start with, I really think that would be a popular deal. I think that, I don't know, I think he'd enjoy that. I think that would like...
For sure.
And I'd be happy to help out in any way that I could, obviously. But I haven't told him that yet. I was actually going to wait until I saw him on Sunday, because he's coming in with the other guys too. But
hell yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Vincent, I vote you start a podcast, my friend.
Now that you've got the studio in your house.
Yeah.
You should start doing that too, man.
I should.
Like, you have that conversation, you know, conversational skills as well, man. Like,
thank you.
You'd be good to
just hang out and talk about whatever with you. Yeah. That sounds like that's just fun. I was really looking forward to this all day, man. I was stoked when you texted me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, "Hey, man,
what was are
you
it doing really?"
Late? Yeah,
bro. I was sitting at this computer. I didn't know what time
late.
It was,
I
man.
I stayed up late as heck. So
I was sitting here editing videos and uploading them. I edited every single video and then I uploaded every single video. I didn't
Thank
do
you for
it
doing
one
that,
at a time.
By the way, thank you so much for doing that.
Right on, man.
For sure, man. We appreciate that.
Well, good. I'm glad. I honestly, the thanks officially, I will say the thanks to those videos really belongs to Cornbread, because it is Cornbread's camera. We got that, and then the whole thing with me using it for the podcast is just a byproduct of just I'm just so having to be in the band that.
Well, thank you, Cornbread.
That helped purchase it. So this is most certainly a Cornbread situation.
Thank you so much,
Cornbread. And Adam Justice.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful thing.
Adam Justice uploaded a new episode of Back to the Cruise Show. Check out the Back to the Cruise Show. Cruise Man's got a little channel. Let's check him out.
Sweet.
He's in my suggested channels or my, I don't know how's it going. Somewhere, one of those little things in my related channels, maybe.
Oh yeah,
on my YouTube channel. Check out Lil Cruise, man. But yeah, the camera is the coolest part, man. And that thing's pretty badass, and I'm lucky to have it.
There he goes.
Yeah, I got that.
You really do need to do like movie commercials, man.
Sign up for Fiverr.
Like yeah, man.
Just in a world where both of their cars. We're totally underwater.
I mean, you got it, bro. Are you kidding me? You got it. You know how much money you can make doing that?
Dude, because there are 8,000 more better than me that are out there doing it that have already done it. And all the people who need people that sound like that, they already have their number. They're just like, I'd just be another one on the pile of 1,000.
I just think it'd be dope to hear your voiceover one of those one day, man.
I would love to do that.
A guy can dream, right?
If any of you guys need me to do some voiceover work, I'd be more than happy to help you out with that.
For sure.
Anybody need voiceover work, I'm your guy.
I'm the guy.
I'm the guy. Are you the guy? I'm the guy. That's the end of summer voice. You'll be listening to episodes in March, and I'll be like, hey, guys, how's it going? See, I can't even...
You sound like me. Can't even, high-ass voice.
No, I mean, you don't have a high voice. You got...
Yeah.
I mean, your singing voice is... You got a high singing voice.
Yeah, I feel like my speaking voice could be more manly, but...
Who cares?
It's all good, yeah.
Just keep screaming. Sing those scream songs. Smoke cigarettes for about 4 years and then quit. And that's what I did. Longer than that, though.
So I had this one thing I wanted to talk to you about.
All right.
So, me and Connor Mills are about to go in the Wonder House studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make my record. We're going to, like, record some songs.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like... I'm very excited, but I'm kind of, like, afraid, and I know I'm overthinking it.
Why?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm really lost as an artist right now. You know what I'm saying? But that's not a bad thing.
No.
You know? I'm, like, confused, but I've been writing. Like, I've been writing, like, different kinds of songs and, like, just exploring, like, any kind of way to write a song about any topic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's been really cool. And I feel really good about, like, just exercising that part of my mind, because I know last time I was here, I was telling you how it'd been a struggle to do that.
Yeah.
So it's felt good to kind of get it back in shape and just at least be thinking about it. And, but I'm nervous, but I'm really excited at the same time, because, I don't know if you saw, but me and JP and Connor are, like, starting a little, like, group.
Scott Mann roasted your name.
Yeah, Scott Mann roasted our name. But we got a better name.
I'm sorry, but it was hilarious. What?
That's cool. It was the Red Collective, because, like, we all kind of have, like, kind of reddish hair. Like, even though my hair is not really that red, but
that's actually funny now that I know the story behind it. When you said Red Collective, I was like, shit, well, like, man, we're just into the game.
We just needed a name for the gig, you know what I'm saying? And then I was at Habaneros last night at my gig, and Meg from Moe's was there, and Connor was playing with me. And, you know, she had seen that, like, three of us played, and I told her that I really wanted, you know, for us to keep trying to play together and stuff, and that we would do a gig, you know, for, like, you know, for a reasonable price at Moe's. And she was like, all right, well, if everybody's in, you know, y'all come do it Sunday. So I texted the guys, and they were in, so now we're playing at Moe's on Sunday.
Nice.
And I'm super excited about it. It's like, I've been playing by myself for so long, it's just so nice to, like, collaborate with other people and play with other people and... catch a whole new vibe, you know what I'm saying?
And now, is it going to be just you three with, like, no rhythm section? Which is fine, by the way. I'm not saying that in a negative thing.
No, that's what it is. Yeah, it's like,
that's cool,
guitar,
man.
And I got a loop pedal too.
Yeah.
And then Connor on electric guitar and sax, and then JP on keys, and then his various horns.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Dude, JP Taylor. That kid.
He's a bad man.
Bad man.
Bad man. Who says that? Is that Mark Jackson? He's a bad man.
I don't know. Him?
NBA? You don't.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you don't watch basketball.
I don't, man. I love baseball, but I can't even watch baseball
Stephen A. Smith, bro. He's a bad man. He's talking about Kyrie Irving or James Harden. James Harden is a bad man.
Man,
you ever watch Stephen A. on First Take?
Always, dude. Here, I don't give a shit about basketball, but I will watch Stephen A. Smith complain about anything just because he's good at his job.
He's great at his job.
He's animated, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, if he had an actual opinion, when you're that, you don't really have to have an opinion, man.
Right.
Like, you can just, and by that he has opinions for sure,
right?
But I don't know, man. When you're that animated about how you say things, it doesn't really matter what
I just enjoy watching it.
Yeah. Do you remember Skip Bayless?
Oh, yeah.
So you remember how much Skip dislikes LeBron.
Oh, dude. Well, I know about all Shannon and Skip.
I feel like Undisputed is, like, better than First Take at this point, honestly, bro. Dude, I really enjoy it.
In my opinion, and my buddy Anthony Perez, who's been on this podcast in, like, episode 3?
Damn.
Or something like that. He's an umpire in minor league baseball right now. He and I agree with him, the best like hour and a half of TV is from the PTI, Highly Questionable, yep. and Around the Horn. Yep. Those three shows are the best hour and a half of television out there. Like yeah. prime time, like sure. middle of the day television. They're I don't know. I love
yeah.
anything about PTI, anything about Around the Horn, yeah. and Highly Questionable is one of my favorite shows. You yeah. ever watch that?
Yeah, I watched. That's the one with dude from Miami.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. His name escapes me. But
Bomani Jones.
Yep.
Bomani Jones is in it. And the dude from Miami. Dan something and his dad.
Yeah, Dan and his dad. I know Dan, but I can't remember his.
Yeah, that's right. Dan.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But yeah, we know what we're talking about. Yeah.
I just wonder if like Skip Bayless like if he were to see LeBron in person.
He's all about the Cowboys though, right?
Yeah.
His thing. Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he would not say that shit to LeBron's face.
No, I don't think so.
LeBron looked like LeBron last night a little bit.
Man, Kawhi Leonard though. Dude, the Clippers didn't even have Paul George.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scary good.
Yeah.
I think the Clippers are going to win the championship this year, and then Kawhi Leonard will have done it with the Spurs, the Raptors, and the Clippers. Three different franchises. In a matter of a few years, I think he'll be the best player in the league. By then. I think he already is. I mean, that's LeBron's the thing. Old, but LeBron's getting old, man. And
you're right.
It's nothing against him. He's put a lot of wear and tear on his body, man. A lot of miles on those feet. You know what I'm saying?
And not only that, the mental strain of leaving Cleveland. You know, it had to have been tough.
And like 9 straight NBA finals or whatever, or 8 straight or whatever it was. And then all the stuff he had to deal with after he left Cleveland the first time and went to Miami. And, it's crazy, man.
Joe Rogan just released another episode to somebody.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, do you know who Edward Snowden is?
Mm-mm.
I'm totally shifting gears, like, in a big way right there. I'm sorry. I just got a notification that Joe Rogan released an episode.
Oh, you're good, man. Shift away.
But Edward Snowden was the guy who released all the
documents. Yeah. Edward Snowden. Yeah, it took me a second. It's been a few years since that, but yeah. He's like in Russia now, yeah?
Yep.
Hiding out.
He was on Joe Rogan's podcast. It got released last night. Like, they did a Skype interview.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gotta watch that.
I'm halfway done with it now. I stopped watching it to go down to Tito's, and then I came back home and got the studio set up. Bro. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy. It really is, man. Just like.
It's disturbing, man.
It really is, man. Just how we're always being watched. Like, everything is constantly monitoring us at all times. There's always something going on. It's always something happening. We're always being watched.
That's crazy, dude.
Always. But I don't care. I'll turn the cameras on and set up lights for them. I'm an idiot.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
I don't think so either.
No, this is great.
But no, you were talking about Kawhi potentially being and LeBron is old, man, and he's got the mental wear and tear, and like that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to help him in the conversation of all-time lists is the fact that he was in 8 consecutive
for sure
finals.
He did go 3-6
no matter where he went.
But
he went 3-6 but he was there years.
It's a lot of
that's a lot of
strain on your body, man. That's a lot of wear and tear. You know, it's going deep into the playoffs like that, and then only really having like 3 or 4 months off.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the job.
And the next thing on his list that will help him a lot is the fact that he has never missed a major. Like, he's never had an injury.
Yeah.
He's never been injured. Year, like, last year was his first. That was the first thing that he's had in his career.
That's the reason why L.A. fell off. They were like, I think they were like the third seed or something like that in the Western Conference at that point. And he got hurt. He missed like 20 games or something. And they fell off, you know. And
I'll say this.
His rhythm back.
I do like what it did for basketball, for him to be in Cleveland for as long as it was, because it made a market that was otherwise.
Yeah.
On like they like every Cleveland fan is running home to grab a piece of rope after every game, until LeBron James shows up.
You also got to think about what it did for that place's economy,
right?
Around the arena and stuff. Oh my goodness! Like a place like that, I mean, rarely is going to get that kind of situation, you know?
Right?
Like, like now that's a situation with like New Orleans with like Zion Williamson and stuff. With him being there,
that could do like wonders for the area.
Exactly. So I mean,
because from what I can understand, New Orleans is a pretty dilapidated area. Like I mean, for there's still a lot of historical spots,
but they're still like suffer. They're still like in. They're still messed up from Katrina.
Right.
A lot of places. What they say. I haven't ever been to New Orleans, unfortunately.
Yeah, me neither.
I want to go. I've never been to Louisiana. I really want to go there.
I've seen pictures. It looks fun. But
I hear the food is wonderful.
Yeah, that I hear. Oh,
goodness gracious. And the music.
But you know what, man? Everybody always talks about, oh, the food is so good in this place. But I bet I would put the food in the South up against the rest of the food in the world.
For sure.
And I bet a taste challenge, we would win every time.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Like, I mean, like, oh, just pick any random grandma from the South.
Yeah.
And I'll put her up against anybody else.
Give me some fried chicken.
Dog.
Give me some, pimento cheese macaroni. Give me some collard greens. I love collard greens, bro. Let me tell you, dude. I live for the greens, bro. The collard greens. My favorite food, bro.
I like collards before they started calling them kale.
For sure, bro.
I liked it when it was by the original name. Dude, my grandmother... So, when I was born, my great-grandmother was still alive. And my great-grandmother used to make collards that would, like... It was like people would just show up.
Yeah.
Word got around. Before social media was a thing, word got around and my grandma had collards on the stove.
Right.
And people would show up, and I swear to God, man, just being a kid, like my grandparents raised me, so I was just seeing stuff like that, like being a kid, remembering, like, people talking about, like, when it's a subject at their funeral. You know, like my great-grandma's funeral, there was the people standing around just talking about, man, I just hate we ain't never going to get no more of them collards.
Man, that's so cool, though, that you got that experience of, like, your grandma making collards and the word of mouth. And then everybody just shows up for the collards. And, like, I feel like stuff like that doesn't happen anymore. You know, because of, like, honestly, because of technology. Stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
It's because credit cards.
Yeah, everybody's.
It's because credit cards and loans and borrowing and stuff. And people got tired of every time they hear that, it's like, shit, it's the cops or there's somebody I owe money to. Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like. I'm kind of changing gears here, but like, as a music community, like we could use more of like, you know, more like community events like the ones we just had, you know, like I think like having something once a month that we all come together and like, you know, some people can play one month, some people can play another month, you know, kind of thing, and like have food or just have it at a bar and just like be able to hang out for a night.
I think it'd be fun to do one of those without even having music involved.
Right.
We already play.
Like
if we want to jam, if we want to jam, then that's fine. But I noticed that most of us just really enjoy the camaraderie of being together.
For sure, because like we all understand like what it takes to do what we do, and we all have felt the good and the bad. You know, the highs and the lows, and those times where you're just so exhausted and you just don't even want to pick up a guitar. You know what I'm saying? Like we all understand how that feels. So I think
that's like, how I'm at Scott Burt's Christmas party.
Yeah. Man.
But no, I didn't mean to cut you off. No. I'm sorry. Saying that you didn't even want to pick up a guitar sometimes being exhausted.
Yeah, dude. But I mean, just being together like this weekend just inspired me, man. Yeah. And like today I learned a new song on the guitar and I wrote half a new song and
nice.
Yeah, I'm super excited cuz we got this gig at Alice Tap House next Friday. I'm doing a Paul McCartney set. And,
I saw Brian Rossler's in here, I think. You in here, Brian?
And,
still in here?
Brian's doing Depeche Mode. JP's doing James Taylor, and other dude whose name is escaping me right now. My bad, bro. Jonathan Norris is doing Tom Petty.
Oh, so nice.
I feel like it's a really nice mix.
That's right. There's Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Up, players? He's on the Facebook chat I see over here. Probably can't see him over there. But yeah, I like that. That's good. You're doing Paul McCartney, huh?
Doing Paul McCartney, yeah. My set list is going to include some hits and some B-side stuff.
Good.
I'm going to do one Wing song. I'm going to do one from his straight-up solo career.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do the rest are going to be like Beatles. But it's all McCartney, Lennon stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really excited about it.
Dude, my favorite band of all time, hands down.
Same, dude.
Hands down.
I was thinking earlier today how, like, over the last few days, the music of the band and the Beatles have, like, made me fall in love with music all over again.
Oh, dude.
It really has, bro.
Digging into those catalogs will can rekindle something in you for sure.
Like listening to When I'm 64, driving to your gig with the window down and it's fall is just
sounds childlike.
Such a wonderful feeling. Yeah. And just like I was listening. Have you ever seen Across the Universe? Okay, I was listening to the soundtrack. That counts, by the way.
That's gonna count. That has a lot to do. That movie has a lot to do with how much I love the Beatles.
Same. And like listening to that version of Hey Jude, I was listening to that on the way here, and I was just so like happy, like singing it with the window down, like just singing it so loud, like.
That version of Let It Be with the choir will bring tears to your eyes, dude.
Mercy, dude.
When she hits that last Mother Mary calls to me. I can't even get up there. I can't get up there, but you know what I'm talking about. When she's up there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, man, that's bad.
Ugh.
That whole movie is great. Everything in that movie was a Beatles reference. And I knew like a lot about the Beatles when I got into it, so I caught a lot of the references that they made. But then the stuff that I didn't understand, like, I don't know. I was like, Benefit of Mr. Kite? Like, are you kidding me?
That was so trippy.
Eddie Izzard?
And then what? Bono was did...
Yeah, Dr. Robert. He was Dr. Robert, but he did Walrus.
You know what my favorite reference in that movie was, though? Is when Jude...
The Silver Hammer.
Oh, I love that, yeah. But when Jude was walking out of the, the shipyard for the last time before he was going to head to America... And he, like, told the guy in line that he was, like, leaving.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I thought I'd be gone or something. He was like...
I remember thinking, when I'm 64...
Like, I remember thinking, when I'm 64, I'd be long gone from this place. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I thought that was the dopest reference in that movie, man. Just sliding that in there. Because a lot of people, like, who don't really know the Beatles, like, wouldn't have even noticed that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And,
well, the fact that... And plus, that her name was Sadie.
Yeah.
His name was JoJo.
Yeah.
Like, just everything in that movie was a Beatles reference.
Yeah.
Everything.
It was beautiful.
It was perfect. Evan Rachel Wood, man. Old Dolores.
Yeah.
You watch Westworld?
No.
She was in Westworld, too.
Okay.
Old Dolores.
I love Jim Sturgis' voice, and I can't believe he hasn't done any other, like, kind of musical since then.
Yeah, he did have a good voice. He was a blonde guy, right?
No. He was, he was the British guy. I really like his voice. I thought it was really good for that kind of music.
He did. His version of Girl was good.
I liked his version of Something.
Oh, man. And Strawberry Fields.
I thought he killed that too.
That whole scene in that movie was so jarring, where it was just so... That movie, first time I watched it, I was on a lot of psychedelics, which is probably why it affected me the way that it did.
Yeah.
But, man.
Crazy experience.
Dude, when they're on that, the whole Bono scene, and then when they're out driving, and then they find Eddie Izzard.
They did that on purpose, bro, for sure.
Dude.
For sure.
Only thing I hated about it was that, I'm sorry, man, Yoko, I just don't get down like that, man. I'm a traditionalist, man.
Yeah.
Yoko being in it was just like,
oh yeah,
Yoko and none of the other guys.
Wait, so Yoko, who was Yoko?
She was. Oh, let me introduce you to my friend. His name is Dr. Robert.
That was Yoko.
Yeah,
I'm just realizing that, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't like it. Just because I was like, dude, she is the reason that they broke up.
She doesn't belong to the Beatles, okay? She can belong to John Lennon, but she doesn't really get to be in,
like... Oh, man. She's the reason they broke up, if you ask. I mean, but then again, I'm in a band right now that we've been doing it for 9 years, and we fight just about every year. So, I mean, this is, you know, you're always on a...
It happens, bro.
You're always on a the edge of a razor at all times, and you never know which way it's going to fall, but... Still, looking back at all of their stuff, and people don't understand. You know how long the Beatles were banned for?
Like 4 years, right?
6 years. 1964 to 1970.
It's amazing how much great music they put out.
In 6 years, they changed the future of music.
They evolved so quickly, too.
Dude, like no other band. Seriously. No other band did that like they did.
My fondest memory of the Beatles is, I'm going to share two of these memories. First memory of music for me. I remember I was about 4 years old, and my parents, we lived in Wedgefield in Georgetown. You ever heard of that place?
Mm-mm.
It's like kind of out in the country. And my dad really liked the Beatles. My mom wasn't really into them, but my dad loved the Beatles. And so he had, I think their... The Greatest Hits album, with the blue Greatest Hits album. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. It's over there.
Oh yeah, there you go. And yeah, and
that's 1967 to 70.
Yeah, and
I think
I remember hearing. One. I remember my dad spinning that record and putting on Hey Jude, and that being like my first music memory. And I remember, a church youth group. We were all into the Beatles. And
you're right, Brian.
We would listen to the Beatles on like these road trips and stuff, and it would just be the soundtrack of these road trips.
Yeah,
it was like the Across the Universe soundtrack and like the Beatles, just anything the Beatles. And it was just
now. Have you ever listened to the Love soundtrack?
The Love soundtrack,
the Love album.
Oh, yeah, where they
George and Giles Martin.
Where they kind of remix some of the songs and stuff. Yeah, I've listened to some of that. Well, that stuff's cool.
Giles Martin, you should listen to that entire album. You make that an experience, because it is. Giles Martin, and Brian says here, John is the reason they broke up. Yoko was the hammer he used to do it, but it was John swinging the hammer. And you're right.
By Brian Rossler there.
He doesn't miss. Brian knows all. But, dude, the Love album, Giles Martin is the son of George Martin.
Yeah,
George recorded it. He was their producer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when Giles...
Rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah, right? What a juggernaut, man. So much music he was responsible for, like Pink Floyd, Beatles, just so much stuff. But with Giles Martin, his son, wanted to learn how to produce... Right. George said, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to do this together, and I'm going to teach you with the Beatles. So they took all of the Beatles catalog, and that album, the Love album, is George teaching his son how to become a producer. And the way that they mix together those songs, there's one that's
I wish my school experience could have been that cool.
God, man. Do you not wish that there were people in schools who their only job were to figure out what thing the child was good at.
Yeah.
And helping them excel at that thing.
And help nurture that, man, and encourage that.
Yeah, because, like, man.
I know a situation, man, where there was, like, this guy who I know who was super into, like, he was a really gifted dancer.
Yeah.
Like all kind of dance, like hip hop, ballet, tap, all of it. And he got bullied for it so much, and nobody like told him, like, man, it's okay to want to do that. It's okay to be great at that. You're amazing. Nobody did that for him, and he ended up like really struggling and he picked himself back up though. He's doing really good now. But I always think of him when stuff like this comes up.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But, I mean, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, like instead of us having to take, like, geometry, like, can we just take, like, how to balance a checkbook 101?
Oh, dude, I had that class and it didn't help.
You did, really?
Right.
Or, like, yeah. how to do my taxes or something?
Yeah.
Like,
something you'll actually use in your life.
Man, like, for real. Like, I mean, I remember thinking that in high school and just, I don't know. It's a mess.
I agree, man. I was just, I remembered, and I had a conversation with Tyler Brown.
Yeah.
When episode number 6 of my podcast came out, Tyler Brown listened to it, and he was like, dude, I heard your story, man. Like, it's episode number 6. I tell, like, basically my life story.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, I heard your story, and you talking about school, and just, I failed, like, a couple of grades. Like, I failed the sixth grade. I failed 10th grade. I failed sixth grade twice, and I failed the 10th grade. Because I just didn't care.
Yeah.
School was not for me. Like, I realized, I'm obviously not an idiot, but I realized that just school wasn't for me. I tested well. Yeah. I failed the sixth grade twice, seventh grade. I failed eighth grade. I had to go to summer school for... I had to go to summer school for 7th grade, and then I moved to the Christian school for 8th grade. But every single year that I went to the public school system in Latta, South Carolina, I failed every year. I just feel like
a lot of people in the system, I want to watch what I say.
No.
I just feel like a lot of them don't care, man.
They don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and then the ones that do... It's like they can only do but so much,
right? You know, and then people like Gentry who tries to do well for school, and a couple of other teacher friends that I know,
yeah,
that like they try to do good things in the public school system, and they're literally their job limits them from doing this.
Yeah, I don't know. My life in high school was saved by one of my teachers, so the power of a great teacher who really cares, and they're there.
Yeah,
there's tons of them, you know, that matters for sure. Absolutely.
There's a reason they do that job for so little money, because they actually give a shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge.
For sure.
But yeah, I agree, man. Like if I would have had somebody who would have noticed, like, I was. Yeah, I know, Gentry. I know. And but you know what's crazy is. I even in music class, like I was in music class and I was in chorus.
Right.
And like even then, like not to toot my own horn, but I've always been how I am now as far as music goes. Like just I've always
excelled at it.
Yes. Yeah. I've always been it's always been very easy for me. And nobody noticed that back then. Like, nobody noticed that. Like, I never got approached by the band leader or anything like that to join band. Or by the time I was asked to join band, I had a job that I couldn't quit to join band. Like, I couldn't.
Bro, like, at least people didn't try to push you down. Because when I started doing music in high school, people just hated on me and just... Like them boys, like Vincent and Matt, like when we would do music together and release it, bring it to schools, to school and give it away for free, you know, people would take it and they would break it right in front of us, throw it in the trash can right in front of us.
People were such dicks.
Tell us that we sucked, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean, like, we weren't great, but we were just kids, you know? We were just, like, exploring
art. You're learning.
And it was the most innocent thing ever. And, like, when I was saying earlier, like... about, like, getting back with those guys and hanging out. Like, just being able to get back with those people who, like, you created with at such an innocent level. You know what I'm saying? You just had nothing to compare it to. You know, you just created
right.
with your friends. And, like, that's how I feel about this thing with Connor and JP now. It's an opportunity for me to make music with my friends and make a few extra dollars off of it maybe. But, you know, but just to be able to do that and... I have to play by myself so much anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Oh, yeah, I bet, Brian. Because we don't have any... This only audio from over here is coming from the phone. We actually have the mics on YouTube.
What's up, Brian?
But nah, like, 100%, though. That's kids are so damn mean, man. And I think when I was growing up, in my group of friends, I was the odd one out because I couldn't skate as well as they could. That was because, like, I don't know, that was the biggest thing that was coming up. Like, X Games had just dropped.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater had just dropped.
Yeah.
Those little tech deck things had just come out. Those little, you know, the skateboard. Did y'all fuck with those at all? Those little mini skateboards?
I was never into skating. I was into, like, football and basketball and singing and stuff.
Dude, like that was how my friends, that was how my group of friends judged us, was whether or not we could skate or not. And I mean, I could skate, but I couldn't trick. I couldn't do any tricks or anything. But
for sure.
But like, I don't know, man. I just, that was our thing, and it wasn't really. If you couldn't do that, then music wasn't really the thing that was cool to be good at.
Yeah.
And then whenever I remember the first day that. Because I always could pick up something and make noise with it.
Right.
But I remember the first day I saw one of my friends in school bring his guitar to school, and he picked it up and he strummed a G and a C and then a G.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls said, he can play guitar? And I was like,
that's all you gotta do.
Now y'all excited about this?
Yeah.
Not my entire life when I've been doing this the whole time. Oh God, it was the best, wasn't it, Gentry? But yes, that's really what did it for me. When I first saw these chicks that were just like, oh, he can really play guitar, and I was just like, psh.
Yeah,
I can play guitar.
Yeah, that's annoying, man.
He was a drummer. He was actually my drummer, my first drummer ever, Chris Burks.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Nice. I haven't met him.
You haven't. You probably won't meet him. I mean, you might one day. He lives in Bennettsville. He's a.
Oh, okay.
I'm one, like me, and my buddy Matt, who went into the Marine Corps. I think are the only two. Dustin Bruce kind of left. He's in Florence. But most of the folks that there was like seven of us in my graduating class. Did I tell you that?
Yeah. You told me that. Yeah.
So it was only a few of us, but most of them stayed back home and like did the family thing right. And. And that's honorable, man. I got much respect for somebody who can do that. I wish I could, but I can't. I just can't do it at this point. Maybe later. I just don't want to get all that stuff out of the way because I remember just being, man, if I would have made this mistake when I was young before my brain got done.
Right.
Becoming, because it's still not done. I'm 33 and it's still not where I want it to be.
I think that's one of those things, this ongoing thing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You're always in pursuit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's a good thing, though, because you're always trying to, like, I guess, like, become more of the person you want to be, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
Constant.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it has to be, I think. I think that it's wise for everybody to do that, and I think that people lose by not doing that, like utilizing every opportunity to better yourself, I think is just necessary. And it baffles me, like how one of my biggest pet peeves is repeating myself, for lack of a better term. One of my pet peeves is like, I don't mind telling the same stories over and over or whatever every now and again, like, because I know I do that on the podcast here, but like, if I give someone information about something I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, if there's something that happens, like you grab the coffee cup, oh, it's hot, shit, I shouldn't do that again. You never grab it again, right?
Right.
Why don't you do everything else in your life like that? You know what I mean? Why don't people do everything else in their life like that? Once you grab the hot coffee, it's like, oh shit, I'm never going to do that again because you've burned your hand. Why don't you take every single situation that you do not succeed at in your life and put that, not necessarily succeed, you know, that's a bad word. Like, why don't you take anything that you, that harms you in some way, or anything that affects you negatively.
Yeah, I totally feel you on this, bro.
Yeah, why not taking something that affects you negatively and treating that like you've just burned your hand on a cup of coffee and never touch it again and never do that thing again?
That's like people who go back in relationships. It's so hard,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it's so hard. I've been that guy.
So much easier said than done.
I've been that guy that goes back time and time and time again, and it just, man, when people show you who they are, you just gotta
trust them.
You can believe them.
Trust them, man.
You know? Do you just? I mean, if they don't care, like, dude, words, they just don't mean anything anymore. You know what I'm saying? People are gonna show you what they think about you.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if it's somebody that you knew for a long time and you did a lot for, and you were there for, you know, like, they'll just they still don't care.
Nope.
And it's just like there's nothing you can do about it but just move on, and which is what I did. And
it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, but I'm glad I did. I mean, it was great timing. I moved on and found a really awesome person to be with, a really awesome woman to be with, and I'm super happy with my situation now. So
she seems very nice. It was good to meet her.
Yeah, man. She's great, man. She's just, I don't know, I've never met anybody like as genuine as she is, you know.
That's important.
Yeah.
The word genuine in your description is so key.
Yeah. And
that's the most important thing, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, just, she doesn't like let me get away with stuff and stuff like that. And, you know, she'll call me out like that for real. Like, she will not let me get away with, you know, me being a douchebag, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I can be one. And, you know, she's kind of helped me become more of a patient person and a little bit more humble person. And I'm super grateful.
That's good.
That she came in my life, you know?
Humble's fine verbally.
Do what?
I think humble is fine verbally.
Yeah.
I think it's important to be verbally humble.
Yes.
Definitely. I think that it's just important to... But in this, my narcissism will flex a little bit, but
no judgment it's here, bro.
Very important to know your worth.
Yeah.
It's very, very important to know your worth and not to get clouded by, what other people might think of you being proud of your accomplishments.
Yeah.
And... But yes, I it's very important to be humble verbally. Like, you can't go around like plugging yourself all the time. You know, you can't go around like, oh man, well, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this.
For sure.
That doesn't do you any favors. So I mean, for like, anytime anybody gives me a compliment, I think the most of myself. I think more of myself than anybody else does.
Right.
And anytime somebody gives me a comment, something, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. I mean, really, thank you so much. And that's it.
Yeah.
But I think that there's something too in your mind to know who you are, man. Like, if you think that you're that lion that stands up and rips the shit out of everything, then be that. You know, like, let everybody else brag for you.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know why, where that came from or what that rant was about, but yeah, sure.
I just want to be. What's the word I'm looking for? I think people get being like what you're talking about is like knowing your worth and having confidence.
Right.
People get that confused with arrogance.
There you go, Brian. I think
a lot.
This man knows. Read that.
Yeah. I just think that people often get that confused, though.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, you know, giving yourself a pat on the back every now and again. And
oh, yeah.
Knowing that, you know, you're good at what you do and that you're a good person and all those things. I don't see why that's arrogance. I've gotten that from some people here where they think that that's like arrogance, and I'm often very confused by that.
To be honest. For most people, I would say who display themselves like that could come across as arrogant. And I've even said that there's a thin line between confidence and cocky.
Yeah,
you know, you can be confident and not, you know, an asshole about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But Brian Ross was saying true humility is knowing your worth while helping others rise to discover theirs.
For sure.
Is just, that's beautiful, man. Like, and that's the thing, like, you saying, like, she had helped you become more humble.
Yeah.
And that's just that's so important, man.
Yeah.
Just because if you ever, I'm of the church that, like, I think of myself, like, knowing exactly where I stand,
yeah,
and anything that happens above that is appreciated,
right?
But to, but also but doing this thing for however long and like not doing things as well as you would have thought you've done them, and or I don't know, like getting in a situation where you're like, oh man, that was great, and, you know, we could have, you know, that was, I did really good at that thing.
Yeah.
And then you see video or something of it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe I thought that I was a little bit different. You know, maybe I thought this went a little bit better than it did.
Yeah. And that brings you back down to earth.
Right. But having that happen for as long as, like like I said about this, nice to, you know, pat yourself on the back a little bit. Like, I feel like I went through the whole, I patted myself on the back every time I got a chance for a long time.
Yeah. I feel like I did that a lot.
I hardened myself to that, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I did that a lot over the beginning of my music career in Myrtle Beach. And I think it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And
I think we all go through that.
Yeah. And, but people.
Musically.
Yeah. And just being loud, you know, on social media and posting about every single gig. And granted, I mean, I still post about my gigs, but like, it's because I want people to come out, you know. Yeah. I want venues to see that I, you know, putting it out there and promoting it, you know, because I feel like that's part of the job now.
That is very, very smart.
I try not to do it every single day. I try to do it like the beginning of the week, like Monday, Tuesday, you know, and put out one post of the picture or something, and maybe post like on Friday, like playing, you know, wherever tonight. But I just feel like I was like super loud, and I had a couple people in the scene tell me that, a couple people who like were, you know, who were just really honest with me and who I really appreciate doing that. I feel like, you know, being with Chelsea has kind of helped me take a step back from that and, you know, just kind of be a little bit more chill about things.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more mellow about things. And, you know, this summer I definitely realized that, you know, there's a kind of a difference between, like, a gig and a show.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, but I think that what I want people to understand, not that I really even need to explain it, but I just want to, for me, when I was that way, when I first came into the Myrtle Beach scene, it was because I was so passionate about music.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to have gigs, and I was so excited to, like, start meeting people and, you know, like, start knowing different artists and different people who gig and stuff, and it was just a whole new exciting world for me, and I wasn't, like, jaded at all because I was so green to it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think now, having more experience and having done it for a little while now, had the ups, had the downs, had the failures and the successes, you know, I think it helps me put everything in perspective now.
Oh yeah.
And realize that, hey, I'm super blessed to do this for my job. I get to sing and play the guitar, and I'm really grateful for that, for sure. But it also, like, helps me to realize that it's, like, most of my gigs are for, like, tourists. They're not really, like, gigs that people are, like, coming to see me. You know what I'm saying? I don't have any shame in saying that because it's my goal.
It's your job.
It's my job. Yeah, it's my goal one day to, like, get to that point and be able to play shows where, like, people are coming to hear me and my songs. Or, you know, a band that I'm in or something, you know, and to be a part of that one day. But I've learned a lot over the last few years. I've changed a lot as a person, for sure. It's been a very interesting ride.
Yeah.
Between, like, because I started playing at Good Time Charlie's. That's kind of how I got into Myrtle Beach. I had an inn at the Sea Cabin's house, and I think that the owner heard me play somewhere and got me there. And then Connor Mills shared the person for Good Time Charlie's at the time. And then it just kind of all happened from there.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a crazy ride. It's been a lot of fun, and I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've learned a lot, and I've made a lot of friends and played a lot of music, and it's been awesome. I'm super grateful for it.
That's a big part of understanding it, Brian. It's tough to have all your friends at a show when they're playing their own shows.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a guarantee. You said earlier that that it took somebody saying something to you
in a
constructive criticism sort of way. When you were told that initially, did you accept that with like a, oh shit, I didn't realize?
Yeah, I did.
Sort of. Were you a little angry about that?
No, I wasn't angry. I definitely was embarrassed because that's not the kind of person I want to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think like the way that like Brian posts about stuff, to where he's like, if you want to come, come, and if you don't,
cool. Yeah.
You know, I think that's awesome, and I think that that's the way I've kind of been trying to be. Like sometimes, like
there's nothing wrong with promoting your shows.
No, I don't think so.
There's nothing wrong with promoting your shows. Do that.
I don't know, I'm kind of bearing my soul here a little bit, like...
Do it, man.
I used to be a super angry, jealous person, man. I looked at myself in the mirror a few months ago, and I decided I didn't really like who I was. I was just an asshole, man.
I'm still an asshole.
I was the wrong kind of asshole, man. I was just... prideful, and you know, I definitely had a little bit of an ego, and the truth is, like, I haven't really done anything, you know. I fill my calendar, and that's great, but you know, the truth is, like, I'm just another solo acoustic guy, and it took a lot for me to come to realize that. And now that I think that I've realized that, and I'm starting, you know, this new process of practicing humility and practicing selflessness,
yeah,
and being there for other people and not only thinking about myself all the time. You know, it's an everyday battle for sure.
Oh yeah.
Because things test me, and I've been tested already since I've been back by people in the music community, you know, and,
tested in which way do you mean?
In a way where it's like, I'm willing to share what I have with you, but you won't help me out ever.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
And it feels like somebody's taking advantage of me, and
that's the worst feeling.
And it's somebody who definitely doesn't need
help. Yeah.
And it's frustrating, but, it's cool. You know, that's going to happen, I guess, in any field, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You're going to have
situations like that. But I've just been trying to choose to just be happy, you know, to let things go.
It's a hard choice to make.
And it's so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I got a temper. I got in fights when I was in high school, bro, in middle school. So I have a temper. And, you know, the last couple years, I've definitely scaled it back. Yeah. I definitely learned how to control it. Now the next challenge is, how do I, like, I control it, but I'm just burying it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I got to find a way to get rid of it. Cause when I'm just holding it for months and months and then I blow up, you know, it's like, damn, that's no more healthy than the way I did it before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so it's like, you know, but Chelsea has helped me with that for sure. Just being able to have somebody there to talk to, and, you know, who's going to keep it real with me always, but also like listen and just let me vent, you know.
Yeah.
That's helped me a lot.
You know? I find it helpful when I'm in my car, I'll cut all the music off, and I'll say out loud all the things that I want to say to those who I'm mad at.
Yeah.
And once I hear myself say all of those things, I usually feel bad about saying them.
Yeah.
Even not to the person. And it helps me come to terms with the anger that I had. And honestly, in most situations, the anger that I feel is unfounded. Like, I have a hard time. I have a hard I have a hard, and I say a hard time, not a hard time. I have a habit of immediately becoming infuriated about something. Like, I'm the same way.
And, like small shit, just, too. Like, little stuff.
This me that you know is a new person.
Yeah, same.
This is
same
not, here, this is not, dude, I mean, like, and for those who know me well and have spent any kind of time with me, and it's probably Adam and Smitty who have probably seen it the most, I have that temper as well. Yeah. Like, I have the, like, I will absolutely... I'm the kind of person that I feel like I am saying this thing to help us all musically. And I'll say something, and if I don't think that whoever I'm saying that to heard that thing that I said, then I'm like disrespected.
Right.
Now, you've disrespected me because you're not taking the advice that I'm given, or whatever have you. And I will, like... And it's not anything anymore. Like, now I've just like thrown out any option of trying to implement my will on somebody else, you know. But I'm really, really, really bad about thinking that my way is the best way to do things.
Same.
Like, and the only problem that I stand up against is my undoubtable ability to know that I am right in that situation. Yeah. And I know that people don't know how right I am because I can't open up my brain and show them the loops and hoops that I've jumped through to get to this conclusion.
Right.
And all of the things that I've planned against happening, like all of the troubleshooting that I've done.
Right.
Like, they don't know the thought processes that I've gone through to come to this conclusion.
Yeah.
And I have a really hard time accepting that people don't want to heed the things that I've said.
Yeah.
And that really, really bothers me. Like, that's my narcissism. Like, I am a textbook narcissist. Like, I love myself very much.
But it speaks to your character that you have that amount of self-awareness, though.
Well,
to know your own character flaws and for me, like, I guess I just try to keep an eye on them and just do the best I can. You know, we're all human beings. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to have bad days.
Yep.
You know, and but just trying to choose to be positive and just choose to love instead of be envious or be, you know, spiteful. You know, I mean, the one thing I just want people, like, that I've dealt with, I guess in the scene that would have known me as that, is that, you know, I was just a kid.
Yeah.
When I started playing gigs, I was only like 20 years old. You know, I'm 23, and I've gone through a lot and worked on myself a bit. And, you know, I'm down to have a beer with anybody.
You're in some good years now, man. Anybody.
Yeah, dude.
I'm
really excited for the future.
Going forward, man. I loved. I wish I could do it again, man. Bro, yeah. I was, dude, 23. Let's see. That was my P90X. I was in my P90X body at this point in my life, man.
I gotta get on that, bro.
I was like wearing size 32s.
Lord,
dude, like, dude, it was. And I was yeah, your grandma cusses people out while mowing the grass.
Bro, is it cold?
Yeah.
Give me 1 second, bro.
Oh, dude. Do your thing, man. I can talk to these people.
Oh, yeah.
But nah, man, just like going through your life and observing things and how you do things and how you react in certain situations, I think is a healthy thing for everybody to do. And it's just helped me out so much. And that's one of those things where I don't mind. And I use this podcast a lot to basically just tell secrets about myself, so that if anybody who really wanted to know who I am could listen to this and they would know. But that's probably the biggest secret about me, is the fact that I really am just very narcissistic. I really do think the most of myself. And in most situations, I think more of myself than those around me. And it is a constant effort for me to keep that in check. But because I'm used to having that part of me always running, and I'm used to having it always be like something in my brain that leads me back to myself and to think about myself or anything like that, because I always have that, I make it a point now in the like I said, the new person that I'm trying to be in this situation, I make it a point to say, I realize that I'm saying this from a place of selfishness. Am I wrong here? Like, am I on the wrong side of history here? I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Now, used to be, I didn't care. I had this saying for the longest time that I would rather be right than liked. And I don't know that it's so much that I want to be correct. I just want to be on the right side of history.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. Like I said, I don't care about as much about being correct as I do about just being on the right side of history. I want after all of this story is said and done, looking back, I want to have been on the right side, you know. But that's another, like I said, it's just me and being honest and narcissistic as I am, and realizing these things about myself and making sure to take into account, like, I'm very quick to see other people's flaws.
Yeah.
And I'm historically very quick to point those out to said people.
Yeah.
And I took a line from Silence of the Lambs, like, you see a lot, doctor, but can you turn that, can you turn that to yourself?
Right.
You know, can you turn that all-seeing eye to yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's easy to point out other people's flaws. It's definitely hard to look at yourself.
Yeah,
and it's hard to, like, come to terms with, like, something like a character flaw. You know what I'm saying? But I think that once you recognize it and you've identified it and you know it's a problem and you've accepted that, you learn to forgive yourself and you just work on it. You know, you just work to try to become a better person. You know what I'm saying?
That's the goal, right?
For sure, bro.
True nobility is not being... true nobility is not being greater than your peers, but being greater than your...
than the your person former you self. Were yesterday. Yeah, Ernest Hemingway, yeah.
Right, right.
That was on one of my
Kingsman.
Posts. Yeah, yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, dude, it's like being better than you were yesterday. That's the whole thing. And I try to do that. I really do. And you know what? I say it a lot, dude. I throw the love emoji around Facebook like nobody's business. Yeah. I'm a love emoji motherfucker. I will throw that down so much on Facebook, and I try to spread the love. And there was a certain time in my life when personally I had been told I love you by girls that that means more to me than it does to them. So for the longest time, you saying that earlier put that in my brain, like, where words are so important.
Yeah.
You know, I used to say that all the time, like girls would say, I love you, and I would be like, I love you too, and mean it. And I mean these things when I say them.
Same.
And I have such a hard time with that, and I like being on a different page than somebody else, and not being able to communicate that. I just, like, I don't even like to say that. I didn't say it for so long, but now I'm like, you know what? I'm just full of love, so I'm gonna spread it. And if it's just on Facebook with little hearts, then by all means, that's how it's gonna be.
For sure. But I mean, I think that's why it hurts worse for people like us who want to spread love and just naturally do love. Because we want to give people second and third and fourth chances, but then they just turn around and break our hearts. You know what I'm saying?
Every time, man. I'm a broken heart, dude. Every time.
And, but, you know.
It's good for your songbook, but it's bad for your heart.
Yeah, it is bad for your heart.
It is great for your songbook.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. But, yeah, dude.
So, speaking of songbook, man, you're songs... by hand, right?
Yeah, songs by hand. 10 songs. I would say listen to the whole thing. But if you're just looking to listen to one song, check out Whiskey Tears. We did.
Is that the one that you played here last time?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good one.
Thank you, man. And my friend Hannah Batley sang harmony on it. It's just me, her, and my guitar. And, man, it was. Every time I listen back to that, I'm just like, man, that's. That might be the best recording I've ever done.
That's good, man.
Out of all the recordings I've done. And, it's so amazing how something that simple, just a guitar and two voices, can just.
Oh, yeah.
Outshine, like. You know, a huge, big production, you know, yeah. What I'm saying? And like, cause I remember when we were talking about this, I was saying how I liked that version of Whiskey Tears better than the fully produced one. And a lot of people around me also told me that. And, but I think that version, that take was special. We did like 4 or 5 takes of it. And
yeah,
that was like the last one we did. And yeah, she kind of helped me write that song, so it's
that's cool,
it's
man.
It's a special song.
That's good,
I think. Yeah,
Whiskey Tears.
Whiskey Tears. Yeah.
Well, we have skated right on past that hour and 45-minute mark. You have any? Oh, you got some cool shit coming up here that you want these kind of people who might listen in the area to be able to follow you around.
So yes. So obviously, this coming Sunday, our band Burnt Sienna, with me, JP, and Connor, are playing at Moe's Barbecue from 4 to 7.
Burnt Sienna. I get it. It's a redhead thing still.
Yeah. And actually, JP's dad, Icebox, came up with that.
Nice.
And then also, November 1st is the Brian Rossler show at Atlas Tap House that I'm on, doing my Paul McCartney set.
What night of the week is that?
It's Friday night.
Man, yeah. I hate that I can't make it on some of those things, man.
Alice is a cool place, too. But I'm super excited to do McCartney because he's just my hero, and it's just going to be fun to do. Just
Paul had the pipes.
Yeah, and he's just such a great writer, man.
Yep.
I mean, he just...
He was. Good brain.
Yeah, and... or no, he is, excuse me. He's not gone yet. He was back then.
Too, oh, yeah, though. For sure.
Like, even just we know a 25-year-old, yeah. But then, and then also, this just came down the pipe. On November 29th, I'm going to open for the Paul Grimshaw Band at the House of Blues for his Neil Young, Bob Dylan tribute. I want to give a big shout-out to Pepper at House of Blues for championing me and coming up with the idea. I want to thank Paul for letting me do it. Because I'm just super lucky to be able to have this opportunity, honestly, and so excited and grateful. And this will be my first time on the main stage. So
hell yeah, man.
Yeah. So
that's a big experience.
Yeah, it is. I'm super. I know you've played it before.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of you guys. How many times have you guys played up there?
I did. We've done Cornbread up there a couple of times for like the Christmas jam, and then I opened for Corey Smith.
Oh yeah,
1 year.
Awesome.
Solo.
You got any advice for the solo? I am a little nervous.
Dude, that stage is no different than any other stage. The only difference is those who have stood on it.
Yeah.
And now you're one of those people.
Heck yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
I'm stoked.
Just that state. Just remember that room. That room is no different than any other room that you play.
Yeah,
for sure. Just plug in that in your mind when you go out there. That room is the same as all of the rest of them.
Yeah.
And then after you get done, you can revel in like, wow, that's, and then you look at all the drum heads. You've been backstage before back there?
Yeah, I've been back there once, but it was just quick. I didn't really get a chance to look around.
Whenever you, and you can do this before your set.
Yeah.
And all, but it's really cool when you walk back there and you start reading the names that are on all those drum heads, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm about to go on this stage.
Yeah.
But when you get out there, it's just, like, just look at it as just a business as usual. Go do your thing. Are you choosing like a are you doing your own thing? Or are you doing Dylan and Neil songs?
No,
as well?
No. I'm gonna do my own thing.
Okay.
I'm probably not gonna play any originals or anything like that. I'm just gonna.
You should.
Well, I may play one, but I just my goal is to just warm the crowd up for Paul. you know, and just do my job and get them feeling good. And so that way, you know, those guys can, I mean, those guys are going to kill it.
Yeah, they'll draw a pretty good crowd. That room will be pretty full. Dude,
oh, yeah.
Paul Grimshaw Band is a band that I haven't talked about a lot on here, but they, I think, and I mean this as the greatest compliment, are the most underrated band
here.
And the only reason I say underrated is because not a lot of they're not when people talk about those bands that are just you have to see.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of folks bringing up Paul because you see them so much you forget how great they are.
Yeah.
And dude, Tom Hanlon is a monster.
Yeah,
Tom Hanlon could be the best guitar player in this area.
I love how they, because usually when I've seen them at Dead Dog, they kind of do two acoustic guitars, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Jim Croce method, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I really dig that, because you don't see a lot of, like, full bands, just two acoustic guitars, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and they do those for the acoustic, for those Wednesday shows a lot with him and Hanlon.
Yeah.
But, man, when you get to see him full band out there, like, Sirio was a monster bass player, dude. And Grimshaw's catalog is vast as they come.
For sure.
Dude, that's a fun gig.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
I can't wait. It's my, like I said, it's my first time, so
I'm
super thrilled to be doing it.
Sure. You know what the best part of it is?
What's that?
Having that picture of you with that House of Blues heart behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to have one of those.
That's the best part. That's what it's all about, man. Just getting up, like, you're getting up there, you get to put that on your Facebook.
Yeah.
You get to get in there. And, to be perfectly honest, man, that's just like, it's like a notch in your belt, you know? Like, one of those things that, like, a rite of passage, it validates you a little bit. Like, you get, you know, that's right. Be true to yourself on that stage and own it while you were there. Brian's honestly the one to ask, for sure.
For sure.
He's played it more than I have.
He's played a bunch of originals on that stage, too.
Brian Rossler, I'll never forget what he did for me musically to begin with down here. Like, just one of my first, like, at Living Room.
Yeah.
And one of the first gigs I ever got was a lot to do with Brian.
And yeah.
I definitely would not be here without him.
One of the first things I ever did in the scene was Songwriters in the Round with Brian at the Pit. And he was always super nice. And I always, like, whenever I heard him talk, I always knew he was just a really smart person and just super wise. And he's definitely been somebody that I've, like, kind of leaned on at times. You know, I can kind of, like, talk to
about
pretty much anything, you know. And, you know, he's always offered sound advice, and I appreciate that so much. And, you know, he's definitely a champion of original live music.
100% he is.
We do appreciate that.
Yeah.
We love him for it.
This area is grateful for you, Brian.
We love you, Brian.
But yeah, so you got that House of Blues thing coming up. Anything else popping up around here that you want to tell the good people about?
I'm doing Island Bar Friday with Blair Mathis. Going to do a solo set. I'm going to play solo. So always good to be back at Island Bar. I didn't get to do it. I don't think I played there last month. I usually play once a month, but I think with the whole Key West thing kind of got me
all
messed up with that. But yeah, man. Oh, I saw a. Oh my gosh, I'm going blank. So we went fishing.
Yeah.
And we came back from fishing, and I caught some mahi. My dad caught some mahi. We get off the boat. We're walking down the dock. And they're sitting beside the dock in the water, two manatee.
Huh.
And it was so cool, dude.
How about that?
Dude, I just leaned over the dock. I was
petting them like a dog.
They were.
They love it,
scratching them here, and then they were flipping over. I was petting their bellies, man.
They love it.
Pictures of it. Yeah, dude. It was, like, honestly the most amazing encounter I've had with nature ever. It was amazing.
That's awesome, man. I love nature.
And they're just, like, they're as big as pickup trucks, man.
Yeah.
They're massive. Like, I don't want to get caught between two of those, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't be good.
No.
They're loving it. They're probably just like a dog, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's just a giant sea dog. But it was amazing. It really was.
That's so random. I love it, though.
I wanted to tell you about that. I was thinking about things to talk about on this podcast. Because I'm so awkward, you know? And
be awkward, man. On it.
Dude, I'm super awkward, man. I can't believe you keep having me on this podcast. Thank you for keeping having me on this podcast.
Hey, man, I appreciate you wanting to do it again, man. I knew you mentioned it a couple times the other day, and I when I left Maggie's.
Yeah.
When I left Maggie's the other day, I know you said, "Hey man, I got nothing to do tonight." And I was like, "Yeah, man, I know." And I was just home. It was just after the pit.
Yeah.
And after the Maggie's, just I don't have a lot of energy for conversation like that. Yeah. But I am doing better. And you heard on the podcast, man, I'm like having these little small victories in making myself leave the house. You know, I went down to Tito's for a while earlier and hung out with Patrick Hanna, who's been on the podcast a bunch.
Yeah.
And me, him, and Tyler Israel threw darts for a match and listened to random songs on a jukebox and talked to Brian and just hung out for a while. And it was nice. But I don't do that ever. I don't ever do that. So I'm trying to make myself do a little better with, like, you know, being here is cool. Like, being here, I'm like unlimited energy. This is like my charging port.
Yeah, for sure.
Unlimited energy here. Like, I can stay up, and I woke up today around 2.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, around 2.
I got up at like 8 o'clock.
And I'll be awake until probably 5, maybe 5:30. I'll be falling asleep at 5:30. I'll be asleep by 6.
Probably. How long have you been, like, how long has your, like, schedule been like that?
Oh, since I was a kid.
Man.
Yeah, when I was little, I remember the first time I got in trouble for staying up all night, I was playing on the Nintendo NES, and it was not old. It was not old then. It was, like, it was newer then. Like, I've always liked the night. I always stayed awake. And my biggest thing was, like, as a kid, I would stay up watching, like, I would watch Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And then after that would go off, I would, like, watch Dragon Ball Z and Space Ghost and all that stuff that came on in the middle of the night on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And shit.
Robot Chicken.
Yeah, like, even before that, like, way before that. Yeah, like, yeah. Back then, it would be, I would watch Howard Stern on E, and then, like, Brooke Burke would do Live on E, or whatever, some random show, and then Howard Stern would come on, and then when Howard would go off, I would flip it to Cartoon Network, and then Space Ghost would be on, and when Space Ghost went off, Dragon Ball Z came on. And I would just all night long. That would be 2 to 3 in the morning. I'd be watching that shit. And
yeah,
that was just me as a kid.
Yeah, I was a night owl, except it was with like Harry Potter video games and Harry Potter movies and stuff like that. I also really liked Courage the Cowardly Dog when I was a kid, and they'd play those on Cartoon Network for like till like midnight.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd stay up late and watch those and get the crap scared out of me, and then not fall asleep for 3 hours.
Courage the Cowardly Dog was a little creepy.
It was.
Every now and again. My sisters were into that.
Yeah, it's a good show, I think.
But yeah, man, just the biggest part of it was working at Tito's. When I first started bartending, when I would bartend at Tito's, we would open at 4, so I didn't really have to, you know, that was my morning. Yeah. My morning was 4 p.m., so I would just 4 p.m. and then I'd get out of work. You know, Tito's was always a service industry bar, so it never got busy till after 10 o'clock when everything closed.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock, people come in, and they're there till 2, 3 in the morning. So then I count dollars, and I get out by 4, and I'm home, go to Waffle House, and eat. That's why I'm fat. Like, I was skinny when I first started down there. Like, I would get out for work and go straight to Waffle House and then come home and crash and sleep until 2-3 o'clock, and then I'd get up and
do it all again.
And now I was the only bartender at Tito's for like a long time, like over a year.
Yeah,
a long time. Every day of the week.
Money though.
No, I was spending it all.
Oh,
every single day I would make just enough to spend. I was getting so drunk, I'd go shot for shot with every single person I poured a shot for in the bar. All day, for every shift. Like, every time I poured a shot for somebody, I would do one.
Dang.
Every time. Every time. Every shot. Dude, you don't remember me drinking, do you?
I didn't know you.
Bro.
I've only known you for a couple of years, bro. Or even known of you. I think we've only met, like, maybe even less than a year ago. Dude, no, at the band tribute last year, I think, is where we met.
Dude, it was legendary. It was legendary. I've drank people. I've gone shot for shot with people at the bar. Literally every single person that I poured a shot for, I would do a shot. And then they would be too drunk at the end of the night to get home, and I would drive them home. I'd have to drive them home.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, it was dangerous how much I could drink. Back I was a monster. I'm still a fucking monster. Don't get your stories mixed up.
How long have you been sober now?
3 years and what else, Smitty? 3 years and actually, Leap Day is coming up next year. So I quit on Leap Day.
Really?
So Leap Day is coming up next year. Yeah. So February 29th of 2020 will be 4 years.
Congratulations, man.
But the joke is, it's only been 1 year because 29th, it hasn't been February 29th for 4 years. You know.
Yeah.
But, dude, when I was doing that, like, you come home and pass out, throw up some blood. Puke up some blood and pass out and do it all again.
Goodness gracious.
Anyway. Will Ness, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave some video in the description of his band tribute performance, and also links to where you can download and stream songs by hand.
Yes, thank you.
And all of that will be in the description of the YouTube video, and also the description of the podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Please go to mistuffpodcast.com. Please go subscribe on the YouTube channel. If you guys want to follow Will on social media, you can find him at
Will Ness Music on Instagram and Will Ness on Facebook.
Any Twitter?
No.
I figured because I couldn't find you on Twitter today.
Yeah.
Yes. So at Will Ness Music on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
And at Yonder Wizard, WIZZERD on Instagram, Kelsey Hudgens on Facebook, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter, at MI Stuff Podcast, everywhere else on social media. And please download the podcast, subscribe on Apple, Podomatic, Castbox, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe to the MI Stuff Podcast. Share this with your friends. Tell your people about this podcast and how terrible it is, so they will listen to it themselves and then know and go tell other people about how terrible it is. But anywho, we're going to go ahead and get out of here and let you guys get on with your lives and be good people. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people.
Peace and love.
Be a good person. It's not that hard. Peace and love. Peace, bitches.